Reading from Matthew chapter 1, we're in verse 19, Matthew 1, 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, privately, secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause a moment. Lord Heavenly Father, as we look at this wonderful story, may we see some fresh insight. May we think, consider the love Joseph had for you, first of all, and then for his wife, Mary. May we learn. May we be challenged. Lord, help me this evening. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self. And please fill me with your spirit. Be with Cindy and those downstairs working with the young folks. Be with both programs next week, that both programs will honor and glorify you. That is our desire. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you were to make a list of the most famous loving couples to ever walk across the earth, you might have on your list Romeo and Juliet. You might have Antony and Cleopatra. You might have Napoleon and Josephine. You might have Pocahontas, John Smith. You might have Elizabeth Bennet and Darcy. You might have Churchill and Clementine. You might have Aquila and Priscilla. You might even have Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. Those were famous long-term couples, etc. Or they were famous for, man, I'm not sure how long Antony and Cleopatra were together, but they were famous for being a couple. You probably would not put on the list Joseph and Mary from Scripture. However, I think Joseph has a resoundingly powerful love for Mary. We will see that tonight. Now, they wanted the spotlight, and rightfully so, on Jesus. But I think if we examine that love, especially Joseph's love for Mary and vice versa, you will see that what a wonderful love and see Christmas through his eyes. First of all, I propose there are four things. And first of all, there are happy expectations in verse number 18. Happy expectations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Happy expectations when his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Now, we understand in the Jewish marriage consisted of three stages. There was the engagement, there was the betrothal, and there was the wedding. Three stages. This was the part of the engagement. And lots of times there were arranged marriages. Now, we sort of balk at that, do we not? We balk at arranged marriages. Or one example in the Bible was, my goodness, we find that Abraham sent Eliezer to find a wife, five for Isaac, brought her back. And that was, I mean, that was an arranged marriage. I'm telling you, that was an arranged marriage, pretty much. According to the Global Market Research and Public Opinion Specialist Survey, in India, in 2013, 74% of the Indians of India, 18 to 35 years old, prefer an arranged marriage over a free choice one. Other sources report as many as 90% of all Indian marriages are arranged. 90%. I talked to a man in India. The first time he saw his wife-to-be was on the day before they got married. They were like, there, over on the opposite sides of the building. That was it. And then they knew we were getting married. Another guy did a study, an author, astonishing low separation rate. Despite doubling in urban areas since 2007, in India, only about 1 in 100 marriages ends in separation. 1 in 100. Well, aren't they arranged? Yes. Love is more an action to be learned than a feeling to be felt. We see people coming as pastors, you know, and I was thinking, and I preached this in 2016, so if you're... I think I've heard that somewhere before. You might have. I think it actually was here. We talk about, and I've said, we see couples all the time. They've got stars and they're moony-eyed over one another. You know, I hardly see that anymore. You know what I talk about? When Steph and I were getting married, like, we didn't do anything. We didn't do the habitation thing, intimate thing, before we got married. We didn't do that. And that's the beauty of it. We have so many in our era, in our age, the young people especially, it's common. Matter of fact, the statistics say 58% in a 2019 Pew research among evangelicals said that it's okay to cohabitate. If you're planning on getting married, it's okay. And this is evangelical Christians, it's okay to do that. The Bible is still against that. So what I'm saying is, there's not this, I'm waiting for that certain person, and they find that person, I think we need some moony eyes. I think we need someone so in love and waiting for the right time and waiting as God has planned. And watch that. I remember I believe it was Mrs. Darling's daughter. They never kissed till the wedding day. And one of them never kissed until after the ceremony when they were in private. First time they ever even kissed. Pastor! I think it's quite amazing. I would much rather err on that side than on, anything you want to do, just go ahead and do it. I'd much rather err on the side of, let's sort of wait. Not just sort of, but let's wait. So the Jews felt the young people did not possess the wisdom to make their own choice, and so they chose for them. In many instances, that was the Jewish culture. So that was the engagement. Then there was the betrothal stage. This was a time for about a year long, and it was as if they were really married. It's why, as a matter of fact, you had to get a separation paper to separate after betrothal. That's how serious it was. But they were not living together yet. Matter of fact, Matthew says clearly, before they came together. No intimate relations during this time. Joseph loved Mary, and he was going to keep her pure till they were ready for the wedding ceremony. It was completely done. Application, just for a moment. Young person, older person, if someone's pressing you saying, if you really love me, you would prove it by giving yourself to me. You respond to them. If you really love me, you'd wait. Because see, I'm keeping myself with a person I marry, and if you're not willing to wait, then you're not that person. When's the last time you heard someone say that? But that is really what God says. It's so important to save ourselves until marriage. Joseph and Mary had done that. And Joseph and Mary, there's this exciting, happy expectations. I'm going to marry Mary. Mary's going to marry me. It's interesting. MacArthur says they were 15 and 13. I've always pictured Joseph a lot older than that, but 15 and 13. Did not he have the bar mitzvah when he's 12?
Yes,
typically they had when you became 12, you became a man. You had the responsibility. If you did something, there's no. How many times do you see teenager in the Bible? When you turned 12, you became a man, and you had the responsibilities. Now you had training. Romans obviously training, but the teenager is not really part of the biblical. It's I'm not saying nothing. I was a teenager. For 50 years, I don't remember what it was. Man. Aren't they just men immature sometimes? Yes, they are. The just toys get bigger. That's all it is. The toys get a little bit bigger than they were when they're a child. So happy expectations. We're going to be married. And of course, the third stage was the actual wedding ceremony, taking possibly up to 7 days, at which the last day, actually, he came. Beautiful picture. He went and got his bride to the bride's house and took the bride to the house he had been preparing. I go prepare a place for you. And you should read the wonderful typology of the Jewish wedding ceremony with Christ coming back for his bride. So that's number one, happy expectations. Two, also in 18, terrible disappointment. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Shock, disappointment. Now, the Bible does not say, the Bible does not say who told Joseph that the child was coming on. Perhaps Mary told him. Maybe she said something like this: Joseph, I have the most wonderful news. I'm going to have a baby, and not just any baby. This is the Messiah, the one our people have been waiting for so long. How do you know? An angel told me this. I asked the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said to me, Joseph, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that one which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It's a miracle, Joseph. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you happy? Mary, that doesn't happen. There's no biological. I know it wasn't. We haven't been together, and the only logical explanation is that you have broken the betrothal with me. Can you imagine from great expectations to terrible disappointment? Terrible. How could he believe such a story? And Joseph must have felt like so betrayed. Country music singers have made a fortune off stories of lovers who have betrayed them. Matter of fact, you remember Eddie Arnold at all? His biggest hit was "Make the World Go Away," whatever it was. And the words were, "Take the world off my shoulders, make the world go away." Why? Because he had been jilted by another. "Make the world go away." I think it's how it goes, something like that. I don't even know how it goes. I've never sung it before. There we go. He also had another song that never made the big time that said this: "My pain comes and goes. It comes in the morning and goes all night long." But the truth is, Joseph had severe pain. Felt betrayed. Someone he had put his faith and trust in, and they had agreed on this, and things were going well, and she was such a wonderful young lady, and he was so madly in love. I'm picturing now, maybe a little license here. Madly in love with her. Oh, how Mary's news must have pained Joseph. He no doubt felt the love of his life had been totally unfaithful. I mean, what's the natural thinking? It doesn't happen. This can't happen outside of something happening between him, her and another person. 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I tell you, Joseph loved Mary because he was not going to take her to the gate and have people stone her for doing that. By the way, I was just thinking this week, that would have been the loss of two lives. You ever think about that? And not just a life, the life of the Son of God. We sit back and we read these stories and we don't realize how God has superintended in Egypt, in Esther, in all these times Herod kills the children, how close the extinction of the Israelite nation was at times. Adolf Hitler, Ahmadinejad, who used to be head of Iran. God's will be done. And Joseph was minded to put her away privately, not to disgrace her. He could have saved his own reputation by having her killed because and proving that it wasn't. And by the way, they had the betrothal for about a year to make sure the girl had not been with someone and she was not with child when they started the betrothal. It's about a 12-month thing. But he did not do that. He was minded to put her away privately, but to keep her shame away. I wonder how, and I was just thinking about how I respond to my spouse. In my marriage, how many times has she been disappointed with me or I with her? And what do we say? Do we sometimes verbal abuse? Do we sometimes respond by sulking or depriving the other person of their attention or not doing our share or acting childish? Joseph could have done all those things and he could have flown off the handle. He could have lost his temper. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Lose your temper and don't find it, by the way. He could have done all those things, but he didn't. He loved Mary. Demonstrated, I think, a profound love for Mary by willing to take on the shame, if you would. Someone has said, love is blind and marriage is an institution. Therefore, marriage is an institution for the blind. Marriage is an institution for the blind. We see, and I think if you're Pollyannaite, if you're always looking for the bad in people, I guarantee you're going to find it. You don't have to look very far at all to find the bad in people. Paul wrote, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity never envieth not. Charity wanteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's agape. So, happy expectations, followed up by terrible disappointment. And thirdly, it's joyful realization. The story, thank the Lord, does not end in verse 19, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Remember, in the betrothal period, it's as if they were already married, except they didn't live together, but they were as how serious it was. And you had to separate by a bill of divorcement if you were in a betrothal period. Take unto thee thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, etc. What wonderful news! What a thrill Joseph must have. Yes, she was telling the truth. She wasn't lying. It's a miracle. Praise the Lord. We can still be together. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. She has not been unfaithful, Joseph. Now we're adding on here. In fact, she has been exceedingly faithful. Matter of fact, she's been so wonderful, God chose her to bear the Christ child. So above all things, not, it's a negative thing. It's actually the most wonderful thing. The ladies for 400 years, 400 silent years, longer than that. Who's going to get the mother of the Christ? Now,
Bible never says Mother of God. Never, ever. Never, ever. It says Mother of Jesus. Jesus' mother, because she carried him for 9 months. Placed into the womb, not the fallopian tubes, placed into the womb by the Holy Spirit and grew. And 9 months later, the miraculous thing of the virgin birth is not the birthing process. It's the placing of the Christ child into Mary's womb with no genetic, I believe, connection to Mary or Joseph, placed right there into her womb. That's the an immaculate conception, not talking about Jesus whatsoever. That's about Mary. You hear the immaculate conception? That's Mary, not Jesus. So please don't confuse those two. So if I predicted, a matter of fact, there are, I believe, 318 prophecies regarding approximately, at least over 300, that about the Christ. Even if he just took eight and had them answered in one person, it's silver dollars, 2 feet thick, across the state of Texas, and you accidentally pull up one that's marked out of all the silver dollars, you somehow reach down, it's infinitesimal, almost, it's nearly impossible. That's just eight. That one person could fulfill the prophecies, and yet all of them are fulfilled in our wonderful Savior. Only God can do something like that. Disappointment turned to joy because he loved Mary so much. So there's happy expectations, there's terrible disappointment, joyful realization, and finally there is obedience to God. The final last part of Joseph's story is this story of obedience, and I wonder if we were in the same situation, would we respond similarly? 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I like that. For he shall save his people, me, you, from our sins. Now, they were husband and wife. They were living together, sharing a home. Joseph had prepared for them, and Joseph's doubts had been swept away. He looked forward to the anticipation of the long-awaited Messiah. Matter of fact, there is a cantato I have done before, the long-awaited king, I believe it was, the long-awaited Messiah, birth of Christ. However, it was not until he discovered that there was that there were the hardships and sacrifices. The first hardship, I would say, I'm envisioning now, was embarrassment. You can just imagine that there were wagging tongues in that age, as there are at any and every age, busybodies. Standing on the street corner, watching them walk by. Mary is 7 months with child, but they've only been... Did you know they've only been married 3 months? And she's at least 7 months with child. I just tell you something happened there. And we can hear Joseph, maybe the first few times. I tell you, it's not as you think. The Holy Spirit placed the child in Mary, and the angel told him, yeah, Joseph. Matter of fact, it was so bad that the Jewish people did not believe it so long that in John 8:41... the religious leader said to Christ, we be not born of fornication. I mean, they knew how many years later, it's at least, what, 32, 33 years later, approximately, we be not born of fornication, because that bad news, or that whatever it was, had continued on very with clarity. Perhaps in time, Joseph even stops trying to explain. And after he went to Bethlehem and then to Egypt, probably Joseph did not want, can you imagine going back to Nazareth? Everybody knows. He probably didn't envision that when things started. Whose son is this? Who really, Joseph, next? Come on. We know how things work. Who really is the father? I'm telling you. God's the father. This is God of very God. Gossip and embarrassment. What a price he had to pay. Secondly, the second hardship I see is inconveniences. Now, and by the way, only women can go through pregnancy. Just saying that, I know we sometimes work. And if you've gone through pregnancy, I can't imagine. We men, I'll just speak for all of us, we can't imagine the pain that was involved in going through pregnancy. I want you to know, we don't know pain like that. I'm just going to say, I don't think men, I'm going to speak maybe for myself. Men can women can handle pain better than men typically, not always. So God had women, God understands all those things, so it works out. So, but the discomfort, the testing, the trial, it may have difficult. I don't know if Joseph... Is it Lamaze classes where you help the... I don't think they had those. Like, Israel classes, I don't know if they had those or not. He probably didn't go. He would be like me if my wife and I, and when Ian had come along, if it was just we were in a... We'd have been up a creek. Had it been like we were out in the country somewhere, and I've got... The water's broke, and he's coming right now. Oh, I probably... And just like, killed over, passed out. I woke up, and here's your son, Tim. And she'd have done it all herself. That would have been, Man, I'm just trying to say clearly what we, you know, maybe what you're thinking. Maybe you're different than I am. But we find that this inconveniences. Thirdly, the third hardship I see very possibly is physical stress. Now, you are perhaps 8.5 months with child, over 8 months with child. I can't say with apodictic certainty how pregnant she was when she arrived in Bethlehem. I'm thinking it was pretty quick or too far along. Can you imagine riding or walking? Perhaps walking on a donkey, the twisting curves. It is a lot uphill to go from where they were to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is up by Jerusalem. So they're going from Nazareth up to Jerusalem, 70, 80, 90 miles on foot, and you're 8.5 months with child. Our first child was almost 10 months before he finally got taken, and so he would not drop down the birth canal. I remember my wife, he never did drop down the birth canal, as far as I know, never did. And so they had, as the emergency, had to do something. So I'm glad for C-section at this point in time, because he was 10-6, and it was going to be a difficult birth anyway. Never did. I'm glad for that. It's difficult, but I remember those. I would say, are you crying because I've done something, or just because, you know, it's easy just to cry? Sometimes it was me. At that point in time, lots of times it wasn't me. It was just something happened that I had nothing to do with. Whew, okay. It wasn't me. Difficulties. Likely they walked. Can you imagine being on a donkey? I remember in the 1960s, late 60s, early 70s, down in the Gulf and County, they would bring donkey basketball. Does anybody even remember donkey basketball? Ever even heard of that? They would have, and you'd find some parents or some teachers that'd be willing to get on these donkeys, and they would be labeled red and blue or whatever, red one blue, and they would take a basketball and they'd try to ride the donkeys and... Sorry about that. Try to ride the donkeys in the gym and score on a donkey with a basketball and pass it. And people just hooted and hollered. I remember because my dad was conned into riding one once. And it was, they were just, I don't know if they had like a burr under their saddle, but they were hard to control. Now, I'm sure that Cisco and Rebel would be a great one to use. There you go, right? Cisco and Buttermilk would be great to use in those basketball games. But these donkeys... I feel bad for the donkeys now, because I'm sure they go from one school and these people try to ride them and they're just... Oh, it was interesting. So you can imagine, back to focusing, Mary and Joseph, a difficult time. Can you imagine they get into Bethlehem and there's hucksters, hey, I'll trade your money for this, changing your money. Oh, we've got a room over here. Or we've got this, we got that. You've got to get your taxes money. We've got a 3-part triplicate form that'll make it easy for you. If you just have like 10 shillings or whatever it is, 10 denarii, whatever it is, we'll give this to you. It's a true story. It's told about a grade school class. And they were putting on the Christmas play, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. In the class was one little boy who really wanted very much to be Joseph. But when the parts were handed out, his biggest rival was given the part of Joseph, and he was assigned to be, of all things, the innkeeper. He was really bitter about this and wouldn't let it go. So during the rehearsals, he kept plotting in his mind, what can I do, what can I do? So finally, the night of performance comes on, and he decides he's going to get even. So Mary and Joseph come walking up, and they knock on the door. He throws the door open wide and says, what do you want? And Joseph says, we would like to have a room for the night. And he threw the door open, said, come on in, I will give you the best room in the house. And poor the Joseph person sat there and just, you see his mind whirling, I guess. He looked right, he looked left, he says, no wife of mine is going to stay in this dump, honey. Let's go to the barn. And off we went, and the story continued right on. And he didn't really get even. I'm convinced that Joseph loved God first, and cared for Mary very deeply, second, and certainly the Christ child. Yet on a night so long ago, there was so much he was unable to give her. I've seen, I read an article maybe last year about the most expensive birthing places in America, where they have these suites, like where the famous people go, and there's like 4 hospitals in America where you pay this unbelievable amount of money to give birth to a child, and they have all these accoutrements, and they have the steak dinners and all these different things, and Joseph had nothing like that. I believe personally that they were in a birthing stall for the sheep that were going to one day be slaughtered in Jerusalem to give. It's called Migdalater. And that's why the shepherds knew exactly where to go, because it was their birthing stall where the Christ child was. That's my own personal opinion.
You can trace it through Scripture if you like. But can you imagine the cries and the labor pains? He loves his wife and the pains and the cries, and he's mopping her brow. And what do I do next? And what's going to happen there? And can you imagine? I'm trying to be caring. I'm sure he was, and loving and all these things. And he tries every way he can. And last, the baby is born, and he cuts the umbilical cord and wraps the babe in swaddling clothes. And maybe perhaps he puts him in the manger, and then maybe perhaps he puts her in her arms a little bit later. Joseph, I tell you, he loved her. He loved her from the get-go. And he loved her so much, he was willing to bear the shame, reproach, all these things, so that his wife could be taken care of. And he trusted God. He's tired, he's weary. They travel a long distance. His muscles are sore. And just when they think it's all over, here they come at the door of their of where they are staying. There's some knocks at that. Who could it be? Is it someone friendly or unfriendly? Or who are they trying to break into? Are they wanting to stay in this little place? And it was the shepherds. We've come to see he who was born King of the Jews. The angels, while we're in. And I believe that it said, I told my wife on the way, it's their field. I believe where they're the right shepherds in the right field, raising the right lambs. The angels come to, and they go to the right place where he is born. We have come to worship. So Joseph tells his story. I tell you, we do not give Joseph credit. Whether he was 15 or 25 or even 30, 35. He was a man who loved Mary so much. Certainly a man of integrity who loved God, loved Mary. Matter of fact, he kept their marriage pure until she gave birth as a virgin. And he kept, even though he was married to her. Until actually she was a virgin when she actually gave birth. That's what the text says in the Greek language. So this Christmas, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about presents. Except unless you want to say it's about the present. It is the Christ child who came for us. I trust this year that we will put that emphasis where it belongs. It was December 25th. You can go back and forth on that. I do know this. He came. And he was born for me and you. And as Mr. Hamilton coined sometime back, he was born to die upon Calvary. Do you know him? If you don't, you need to receive him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you this evening for the story of Joseph and Mary. Thank you for Joseph, who was so sold out to doing your will. He was willing to take the shame, the wagging tongues, most likely. Even later on, the accusations of the religious rulers to Jesus himself, how audacious and blasphemous, we be not born of fornication, the unbelieving heart. Joseph, however, believed. Thank you for his love for Mary. It shines. Lord, as we consider our own lives, our spouses, if we're not married, for those we come in contact, our children, our parents, possibly. How is our relationship? Is it all about me? Is it all about me? It is not. May we see that. May we give of ourselves to others this Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.